This is Pushing the Odds on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Las Vegas, here's Matt Perrault.
Coming up, the UFC. They go back to their pay-per-view in Chicago. UFC 225 happening next week, a little a week away from now. And we get to talk to a fighter we haven't talked to, or I haven't talked to on the air at least, since, well, we recorded a podcast together with him and his wife, Megan O'Leary, from the UFC. We recorded it in January of 2017, following his latest fight at the time and a victory. And then, unfortunately, an injury suffered came up with Joseph Benavidez, and he will fight Sergio Pettis coming up at UFC 225. We go to the Rock and Mortgage by Quicken Loans hotline. Joseph, Matt Perrault, how are you?
What's up, Matt? Good to be back on, brother. Appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate you coming on. Let's talk about your injury, the rehab process, and how do you feel right now? I mean, I can't believe it's been this long, but here we are in May of 2018. Yeah. It's been a while for you since you have a chance to get back in the octagon.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Like, when it started, I felt like, man, this is so far away. I don't know how I'm going to ever get there. The time was moving so slow. And now looking back, I'm like, where did it go? Like, I don't even feel like I was ever injured. All I really know, can see is, you know, the fight, the future, the present right now, and how good I feel. So, you know, in a strange way, you know, you never want to get injured. But at the point I was at in my career, where I was at in the weight class, a little of everything, I think it was a super positive experience for me. Not only physically could I rest my body and, you know, get my full recovery here at the Performance Institute in Las Vegas with the best, but like mentally I just feel refreshed. New perspective, new outlook, new just appreciation for doing something, you know, that was taken away from me for 10 months and something that I love. So it's crazy. I guess the best way is kind of like I feel like a kid again, like an up-and-coming kid, excited newcomer or something, but like with the experience of the vet, the 34 fights, 3 title fights, all that. So it's pretty awesome. I'm kind of coming together with the like a veteran and an up-and-comer at the same time with the refreshment of being off for this long.
The leg injury, was it a nagging thing that just went after all the fights you have been through, or was it a totally new injury in a new situation you had to fight through and battle through to get back?
I think it was like a nagging thing, because honestly, when it popped, it wasn't something crazy and like blunt force. It was really just a movement, no real contact or anything. It was an open mat movement. There wasn't any grappling or twist or anything. My foot just got stuck, I guess, similar like someone's foot would get stuck in the turf kind of on the mat.
Yeah.
No real pop, no real anything. It got diagnosed real different, and then took me about a week to just actually have it fully diagnosed that I needed the surgery. So I think it was something they said was just kind of micro-torn the whole time, and the last little bit just went out at the end.
You mentioned the physical component, but also the mental component of this. Athletes have long talked about the loneliness that happens when you get injured because your normal routine totally changes. You can't do the normal things you're used to. How did you handle that with the rehab process of not being able to do what you're born to do, which is get in the gym, work out, and prepare for fights?
Yeah, it was tough. My wife had a lot to do with that, just keeping me positive. You know, there's people there, people calling, people visiting, people saying this, but she's the constant. You know, she's there every day having to deal with the emotion and how I feel and, you know, just making sure I stay positive. And obviously there's people along the way that help big too, as far as coaches, teammates checking on me and giving me good outlooks. But just the constant part was really just her. And that just kept me positive, kept me inspired, seeing her keeping on, moving, trucking, kind of carrying the household on her back, kind of, you know, just kept me going. Just, you know, I got to do the best I can to get through this. Also, just the mindset of doing what I can do, you know, because I think when someone gets injured or something's taken away from them, they automatically resort to what they can't do. Mm. You know, I can't do this. I can't fight. So I just thought about all the stuff I could do, and whether it be physical or, like, just other things in life that I was allowed to do, you know, since I couldn't train all day. You know, it's just like there's always something I can do besides sit there and, you know, feel sorry for myself. So just always thought, I mean, drawing, you know, simple things like that, watching movies, you know, I was like, oh, I can do this. If I wouldn't be able to do this if I was training all day, you know?
Right, right.
So, you know, just always thought about what I could do, and just super inspired by my wife and how hard she worked and kept me positive during the time.
Tell me about the new hair color. Was that also part of the process of being brand new and coming out back in the octagon with a new look?
Yeah, I guess you could look at it like that. I mean, it is a change. And, you know, like, I feel during fight camp, like, there's always a change, and I really like to, like, feel it. You can, like, feel the change in yourself and everything. So, yeah, that was it. But more than me, it was almost like a style thing. I was like, oh, I like it. Thought it'd look cool. Used to do it all the time in high school, and it was really not like a calculated choice. It was more like a feeling of something I just needed to do and to kind of complete the change, I guess.
Very cool.
Like, I like it. I think it just looked cool, and I'm into cool shit.
It does look cool. I would agree with that. I love it. Joseph, you're the number one flyweight in the world. Okay, that's an amazing accomplishment. That is something when you kind of put it in context and go, oh my gosh, you know, in a weight class in the highest league, highest company of mixed martial arts in the world. And you've made a comment that I want to play for the audience here. You said it this week at the Performance Institute about where your fight will be seen against Sergio Pettis, who is a top five flyweight in his own right. Two top five fighters going after it here, trying to get themselves a matchup with Demetrius Johnson. Here is what you said this week, and then I want to get your reaction on the other side.
And they're definitely snubbing the flyweights. I mean, I'm the number one. No other person in any division in the UFC with the number one ranking by the name and six wins in a row would be buried on Fight Pass. Not a main event, not kicking off the card, just buried in Fight Pass. I mean, you answered your own question. I mean, what other theory is there to have besides that they are snubbing us or it's something, you know, personal towards me or the flyweight division? Those are the only real options left, because that wouldn't happen to any other person in any other division.
Joseph, I completely agree with your comments. When I saw it, when your fight was put on Fight Pass, I couldn't believe it. We've seen Robbie Fox from Barstool Sports picked up on it, wrote a great article on it yesterday, saying this is ridiculous. Has there been any fallout from those comments? Have you heard from the UFC? And what's been the reaction to your comments about where your fight will be seen next week?
No real fallout or anything. I mean, I haven't heard from anything. It's you know, even with me, it's not something I, like, want to talk about or brought up. Like, for instance, I guess the best way to look at it is, like, it wasn't something that I saw and I, like, tweeted to complain and was like, oh, my God. Like, I was asked it, and it obviously needs to be addressed because it's a fact. And people just need to ask themselves, whether it's the media, you know, us fighters, you know, the people that make the decisions themselves, is like, why? You know, because what I said is a fact. No one, number one ranked fighter with six wins in a row would be buried there on a card. I understand it's a great card and everything, but so, you know, I wanted to address it, and obviously, but it's the media and the fans that also want to address it, so I'm responsible to do that. You know, like I said, if no one would have ever asked me, no one would ever, there would have never been this answer. I would have never been, like, gone to Instagram, taken to this, but, you know, fans and media, they're the ones that care, so there's obviously some kind of an issue. So, yeah, I just wanted to open up the dialogue of, like, yeah, why is that? Like, why exactly is that? Open people's eyes to, yeah, that actually wouldn't happen to anyone else, so why did we do that? Why is it happening? And yeah, that's basically it, you know, just being asked that, like you said, and I think anyone can agree, those are just kind of the facts that it wouldn't happen to anybody else.
I totally agree with you, and, you know, this is a fight where I know you fought Demetrius Johnson twice, and I know you want the third crack at the belt to go after him, but the winner of this fight between you and Sergio would be in line, correct, to go ahead and fight Demetrius? So wouldn't it make a lot of sense for the UFC to showcase the two of you guys, so whoever wins the fight, you then can set up the next fight for Demetrius Johnson if it's going to be in the division? I know the TJ Dillashaw thing's out there, but in the division, right?
That's exactly what I was thinking. I mean, I guess there's another stat that there hasn't been, like, a flyweight on the main card in all of 2018. And, like, all right, say it's something against Demetrius or something, like, the best thing to do is to put two people there that are potential competition for him, you know, build the rest of the division up, you know. Who better than the number one ranked guy, six wins in a row, who really came closest to beating the guy, you know, in our first split decision. So,
right.
Yeah, I mean, you're 100% right. Everything the media asks, I mean, and the fans say, I mean, they're right. They kind of know. And like I said, I'm just in the position and responsible to answer it for them. But you're absolutely right. Like, yeah, wouldn't it be wise to put someone else on? You know, they say, oh, the fans don't take to the flyweights. Like, well, yeah, no one's been on a main card in the whole year. So how are they supposed to even see it?
Right. Joseph, your fight will take place in a week. I know you're getting ready mentally, physically for this fight coming up at UFC 225, but fast forward a week if you would. What do you think your emotions are going to be like, given the fact that right before the fight, you haven't been back into the octagon since December of 16?
Dude, I think just happy is the best general way to explain it. I mean, that there obviously webs off like excitement and anxiousness and everything like that. But, man, I'm just so happy to be back. Like I said, like this used to just be, not used to be, but once you do something, you know, every day for 12 years, it just kind of becomes what you do. It's another fight. I'm excited. Can't wait to win. Can't wait to get paid. Can't wait to show my hard work, move up in the ranking. But like this one has just an added amount of, it's all those same feelings that I always had because I love fighting and competing. And it's just such personal growth every day for me.
Yeah.
But just the happiness factor added on is really the best way I can explain it. Like, I have all those feelings of, yeah, any like a fighter, a competitor would, but just happy at the same time to be doing it, just kind of a different perspective of it. Mm. So, yeah, man, it's that's about it. I'm just excited to get back in there. Love the opponent. Great card, obviously, and feel amazing.
I'll get you out of here on this, Joseph. You're fighting Sergio Pettis, a top five flyweight in his own right. What are you expecting to see out of him coming up on Saturday?
Yeah, he's awesome, man. Like I said, he's like you just said, he's top five now. I think people used to look at Sergio as like young and gonna be good. Like he's gonna be good. He's gonna be this. He's gonna be that. But like I think now he is all those things that people, you know, said he would be when he was younger, when he was just Anthony's younger brother.
Right.
Like he is all those things now. He's top five. He's beat former title contenders. He beat a very tough, you know, Brandon Moreno, top five in the world, and you know, in the UFC. I mean, so he is all those things. He's a top five guy. It's a great fight to come back to. You know, I wanted to come in and, you know, put myself right back there at the top. So I think he's a great opponent to do that.
Joseph, best of luck next Saturday. I have Fight Pass. I know a lot of fans here who love the UFC also have Fight Pass. We'll all be watching you, cheering you on. Best of luck coming up on Saturday up in Chicago.
Appreciate you guys, man. Thanks for having me.
That is Joseph Benavidez, the number one flyweight ranked in the world behind Demetrius Johnson, who's the title holder, Mighty Mouse Johnson, in that division. And the winner between Sergio and Joseph should get the fight. I know the TJ Dillashaw stuff is out there, the quote, super fight and whatnot. There might be a bigger ticket item for the UFC, but this goes back to the where the company has been and where the company is going. In the history of the UFC, what happens is, you know, you fight two top five guys, fight, they get a title shot, right? That's how it's supposed to go. Now it's, okay, you need to have a name, and you got to go with, you know, cross division, and Demetrius can go ahead and fight somebody else. And yes, he's beaten Joseph twice. That's true. But in the first fight, it was a split decision. It was a knockout in the second fight in the first round, but it was a split decision. And he's back. He's healthy. He's rested. He's mentally ready to go. And I think Joseph beats Sergio coming up on next Saturday in Chicago. And then I think he would be wise to call out Demetrius Johnson and says, let's go. Let's do it for a third time. Let's see what happens. Because, yes, Demetrius has owned the division, but a guy who was the closest to beating him is now on a should be on a 7-win fight streak, back, healthy, and ready to go and rested. So it's really unfortunate that fight's on Fight Pass. It should be on FS1. In fact, it should be the lead, in my opinion. It should be the headline fight on FS1, given the implications in the division. But different story now, different world in the UFC than it's been in the past. We've got a lot coming up here, a lot going on. We've got more on the NBA and looking ahead to game number 3 of the Stanley Cup Finals. It's Pushing the Odds, SB Nation Radio.